broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast yesterday, first hour simulcast with the Sheriff Mac Show on Brighty on TV. And we talked about a significant CSPOA update, primarily that I'm the CEO of CSPOA now, which means hopefully we can help Sheriff Mac with the incredible growth we're having. We got a lot of incredible initiatives on the table, and we're grateful for you to be part of the CSPOA. To learn more, to get involved, to sign up and become a CSPOA Posse member, do it today, CSPOA.org. Give your loved ones a Thanksgiving gift of the CSPOA membership as well. They can join the posse. They can get discounts on all kinds of products and services and a whole lot more, all available at CSPOA.org. All right, I don't give a star with an F before it. Yeah, that's what Maricopa County Attorney Tom Liddy, yes, that's the son of the old talk show host, the late G. Gordon Liddy, dropping F-bombs, freaking out. Joe Kovacs, WND.com, with the story. Tom's totally out of line when a phone call came to Tom, the attorney from a campaign worker for Arizona Governor candidate Kari Lake. And he literally started dropping F-bombs and swearing and getting all crazy. Well, I can see why. The guy's getting scared because Josh Barnett and others are now saying, hey, you know what? The machines were never properly certified by the appropriate, quote, accredited company. There's a big battle now about that, about state law, about accredited machines, about certification, and a whole lot more. Barnett accused Maricopa County recorder Stephen Richer of lying. He says, yeah, they were, you know, certified machines. Yeah, but you know what? You didn't mention that they were certified by a company that is not accredited. That means all the votes are illegal. Bottom line, there's so much scandal there, they need to redo the elections in Maricopa County, Arizona. So when they tell you, we say there's election fraud, election shenanigans, whatever term you want to use for the crime syndicate, all I can tell you is it's a deep state crime syndicate involved in manipulating elections. The bottom line is they say we claim this without evidence, but more and more and more evidence that we're right. In fact, it's so bad that we had to have Robert McDowell, who's tracing these election shenanigans in Arizona, come on the TV with us and talk about it. Yeah, now counties are refusing to certify the fraudulent election in Arizona. Yeah, election day tabulators or printer issues affected more Maricopa County, Arizona voting centers than authorities previously claimed. Yeah, so they said it wasn't too bad. They lied, got caught. It's way worse. Every time we turn around, they claim something's nothing. And then when we dig in, oh boy, it's something. They say you have no evidence. We come back and say, what are you talking about? All right, on November 8th, for example, the day of the midterms, there was 11 roving attorneys. And they were checking out the election processes in the Republican National Committee's RNC Election Integrity Program in Arizona. And they visited nearly 52% of the county's, quote, voting centers. We should be at precincts, but anyway, voting centers. But according to a memo sent to party officials and candidates by these roving attorneys, they said, you know what? It was way worse than we thought. The Daily Caller producing the information on this story. But the bottom line is the elections just can't be certified. Even the attorney general says that. Now, a lot of people are saying, be careful. It might be a red herring by the attorney general. That's all possible. Time will tell. But the fact is, they say we claim without evidence of election integrity problems, fraud, whatever you want to call it. Now they literally can't even certify the vote in Arizona, admitting we were right, they lied, they were wrong. And every time we dig, these scandals get bigger, deeper, wider, more criminalistic in nature. And the more we gain knowledge about this, communist Chinese servers involved, all the way to, the elections were ran by non-certified machines or non-accredited companies certifying the machines. No wonder they worked in the test the night before, but the next day they failed, huh? Okay, and all through this, we're finding more and more and more shenanigans. From black bag votes turning up out of nowhere to votes that can't be passed through the machines, so golly, put them over here in this bag and we'll whisk them off to some other center, to people meeting behind closed doors, the lack of transparency becoming just ubiquitous everywhere. Anyway, if you want to get CSPOA SMS updates, in other words, texts, keeping you up to speed on what we're doing at Liberty Roundtable Live, the Sheriff Mac Show on TV, and the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, then just text the letter CSPOA to 53445 and get on our text list, would you please? Archives of the simulcast between the Sheriff Mac Show and Liberty Roundtable Live. If you want video, then go to Brighteon.com. Live is Brighteon.tv. If you want to get the audio form of the incredible show, then lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, tell a tale. It's all free, live and on demand radio at your fingertips. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we completely switched gears, and we had on our guest Murray Sabrin. Dr. Murray Sabrin has got a PhD. He tells his story from the immigrant son of Holocaust survivors to an American libertarian icon. MurraySabrin.com, his website. Now, Dr. Sabrin understands and communicates very well how libertarianism can save America. Now, between you and me, I understand and I agree for the most part. I don't think complete libertarian views, but what I like about Dr. Sabrin is he is a libertarian, but he also has a moral compass. A lot of libertarians want to just yeet the Constitution. They border on anarchists, but not Murray. Mr. Sabrin was born in Bad Rischofen, West Germany, on December 21st, 1946. His parents were the only ones in their respective families to survive the Holocaust. Sabrin arrived in America with his older brother and parents in August 1949, became a, quote, U.S. citizen in 1959, he lives with his wife of 40 years. Her name is Florence, and they live in Fort Lee, New Jersey. All right, now these guys are pretty impressive. He's a German-born professor of finance. He's done very well for himself. He's written a lot of books. He just released his autobiography, From Immigrant to Public Intellectual, An American Story. He also is the author of Why the Federal Reserve Sucks, another one of his incredible books. The guy's just fun to talk to. He's educated. He's informative. He's entertaining. His books are incredible. We really like Dr. Sabrin. There you have that. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. Available now at lovingliberty.net. Now, I went to the Red Pill Expo, as you know, and they had it on Saturday and Sunday. And so Saturday, I was able to be live from there, but it was early in the morning, and we didn't have a ton of guests. But I did a bunch of pre-recorded interviews that I thought were really, really riveting, worth your listen, if you will. I've got those interviews now. We've had so many incredible shows, I just haven't had time to run these. But I want to run the first one now. It's with a guy by the name of Scott Shara, or Shara. And the headline is Remembering Our Grace. They had a daughter named Grace. She was a Down syndrome. A wonderful, wonderful child, fun to be around. Whenever you were with her, you felt the spirit, according to Scott and his wife and others that knew her. Well, sadly, she was murdered by your government, ladies and gentlemen, because of the latest, quote, protocols and et cetera, et cetera. You know what? They've got this idea. It's kind of like Hitler that, you know what, the blind, any disability, you're just not really kind of worth living. That's the attitude of these clowns. Our AmazingGrace.net is where you can find videos, more details of Scott and his lovely wife. Our AmazingGrace Grace.net because they named her Grace when they found out her circumstances in life. But man, she was a joy and a blessing to their family. Scott tells the horrific story, and he does it right now. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live Liberty Roundtable, having a fantastic time at theredpillexpo.com. If you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, you can go get virtual tickets. You won't get to rub shoulders with all the incredible people here. You won't get to taste the hot sauce, but you will be able to check out the incredible speakers and a whole lot more. Theredpillexpo.com. And man, have we got an incredible guest for you coming up. Before we get started with the guest, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that God is love. That's an important principle to understand as we conduct this interview. Where is God is a question that you ought to be asking for sure, and we'll answer those questions as we start today. Scott Shara with us, ladies and gentlemen, and he's got a group called Remembering Our Grace, and their website is very fascinating. It's got their whole story there, ouramazinggrace.net. Scott, welcome, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Sam.
You betcha. Talk a little louder, if you will. Get fired up for me.
All right.
There you go.
How's that?
All right. Perfect. Now, let's talk about your story. First off, who are you, Scott?
I'm Grace's dad.
Right. But tell me about you, though. You grew up where, and what do you do for a living? Give me a little bit of Scott.
Okay. I grew up in central Wisconsin.
Yes.
Went to school in a little town called Pittsville in high school.
Okay.
And then went to college in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And after college, I went to work for a Big 8 CPA firm in Minneapolis,
okay.
An international firm. And ultimately, my wife and I moved to Hawaii in 1986.
Wow.
We lived there for a couple of years. Our son, Travis, was born there. And so you'd call him a native Hawaiian. We moved back to the States, back to Wisconsin in 1988. And then we had our second child, Jessica, and eventually we had Grace. We had Grace in 2002. Grace was born on September 22nd, 2002. In the process, I owned a CPA firm. Then I did strategic planning. And now I currently own a pond management company. And as God would have it, my guys were trained because of me developing heart disease about 5 years ago. So I trained them to run the business. And they're running it now so I can take Grace's story out full-time.
Take to a greater cause. I understand.
That's right.
And what management company is it?
The pond management company is called The Pond People.
And what does that mean?
We developed a process with aeration and good bacteria that cleans up ponds without harming them with chemicals.
Oh, I love it. All right. That's excellent. So you've gone from good work to great work. I understand. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your wife.
My wife is my childhood sweetheart.
All right.
Coming up on Tuesday, we will be married 36 years. So
congratulations, sir.
You probably wonder, how do I know that? Because it's coming up so fast, I had to memorize that ahead of time, because otherwise it's a trick question. So,
that's right.
So 36 years together, and this is a tough time right now, as you can
and
imagine.
And you guys were high school sweethearts?
We were.
Oh, yes. Well, congratulations on that. That's exciting. All right, so you're living life all as well. You're living the American dream, right?
Well, we were living the American dream. And
yes, sir.
I would define the American dream as 2.1 kids, 1.7 dogs. You retire by the time you're 50 and then drink beer on the porch. So that's what we were chasing until God came into our lives, and now he's really in our lives. So we're all in on this fight right now.
All right, Grace was born. Tell me her story.
So Grace was born on September 22nd of 2002. I was in the delivery room. When she was born, they whisked her off to an oxygen tent or some type of an oxygen situation because she had low oxygen. And when I looked at her, I thought she had Down syndrome. So I said to my wife, I said, I think Grace has Down syndrome. And, that would be fantastic. The doctors came in after about 2 hours.
When you say it would be fantastic, you just mean to have a daughter from God that you could serve and love. That's the fantastic part, right?
Absolutely.
Understood.
And Down's kids are just great.
Yes, sir. You just feel their love everywhere they go. I understand.
Right. We had no idea how great it would be. But anyway, the doctors came in about 2 hours after Grace was born and said, we suspect your daughter has Down syndrome. Do you want to keep her?
What?
And, you know, it wasn't about...
Did you say, know, have you lost your mind? Yeah, of
well,
course.
Exactly.
We want to keep her?
Of course. I mean, that's exactly... That is literally what we said. And, you know, they were thinking...
What kind of a clown question is that?
Well, it's a perspective that has helped me frame why Grace was murdered.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, Down syndrome children are currently murdered in the United States at the rate of 67% before they're born.
Oh.
And, you know, that attitude has been around for a long time. You know, hence the doctors saying, do you want to keep her? They weren't talking about murdering her then, but they never thought that we would want to keep her. They thought we'd want to put her up for adoption. We named
so they
her,
said this. So yeah. Hold on. They said this, and you and your wife just look at each other?
Well,
like, are you kidding
me?
It was
more than we actually said out loud. Are you kidding? You know, what are you guys talking about? And, you know, then it was a strange thing.
Because I'd be looking at my wife thinking, did they just really say this to me?
Well, you know, they have a perspective that they are in control and they know. And, you know, that it's at a critical moment in our country's history in that regard. Because
yes, sir.
Most of the hospitals have been weaponized and turned into killing fields now. Back then, that wasn't the case. But now it's full blown.
And back then, you were talking 2002, so 20 years ago.
Correct.
Okay, keep going.
So after Grace went into what's called the NIC unit. She had to get transferred by ambulance to another hospital, and she had a hole in her heart. God chose to heal that, so we didn't have to do any surgeries. And we named her Grace after God's grace. And she,
amen,
she was, oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about with Grace. So just to give you a perspective, she knew God. You referenced the God is love scripture. So that was Grace's favorite scripture, 1 John 4:8. So she abbreviated it, God is love. Well, she really knew God. She said, she called me earthly dad. She called my wife earthly mom. That's how well she knew God.
Boy, do we have a lot to learn, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I can learn that in 10 lifetimes. She just had it down. She was very high functioning. We never vaccinated Grace.
And a child shall lead them, huh, Scott?
Well, that's right on. My wife taught her how to read and write. She played violin. She rode horse. I taught her how to drive. She had a sense of humor that is second to none. She deer hunted with me so she could shoot a rifle. I'll just share a quick story. So this was the second to last year I deer hunted with her. We were in the stand and she was, you know, it's kind of boring waiting for a deer to come along. She said, Dad, I have a joke for you. And I said, okay, what's your joke? And she says, where do bees go to the bathroom? I said, I don't know. Where do they go to the bathroom? And she says, the BP station. She made that up. So then we start, you know, her and I start bantering. I said, okay, well, where do rabbits go to the bathroom? And so she connects the dots right away. She's smart. She was so smart. So rabbits go to the bathroom at IHOP. And so then she says to me, well, okay, where do turtles go to the bathroom? So we'll see. Can you guys get that one now? I set you up. Where do turtles go to the bathroom?
What do you say, Zach?
The turd zone?
The turd zone. The shell station.
Oh, okay.
So she was super funny. There's so many stories about her with, she just had a great sense of humor.
So you had how much time with her?
She died 3 weeks after her 19th birthday.
So you had 19 plus wonderful years.
Yes.
Then what happened? Tell me how things changed.
We were, this was during the time that the Delta variant of COVID was running rampant.
Yes, sir, it almost killed me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't kill Grace, but it actually almost killed me. What killed Grace was the hospital. But she got a sniffle around September 28th of 2021. We tested her with a home test for COVID on October 1st. The reason isn't that she was bad. It's just we were going to go to a wedding, and we just thought she had a cold. But if she had COVID, we thought, let's not go.
That makes sense.
She tested positive, so we didn't go to the wedding. And things just progressed. She was on the frontline doctor's protocol. By October 6th, she couldn't maintain her oxygen above 90, and we at that point perceived it as an emergency. And so we took her to urgent care. They did some blood work on her. Interestingly, they didn't put her on oxygen right away. They waited for an hour, hour and a half, and ultimately they created this.
See, everything they're doing is off protocol, sir.
It is so
strange.
That
is insane.
Yes. They did one of the blood chemistry parameters was D-dimer, which shows a propensity to clot. They said that's an emergency. We should take her by ambulance. So I rode in the ambulance to Grace to a hospital. And ultimately the emergency room physician, Grace was no problem breathing. She's on regular oxygen with a cannula at 96, 97, 98%. I was in the emergency room with her. The doctor suggested admitting her to the hospital and saying, and she said specifically, we'll have her on oxygen and a steroid for 3 or 4 days, and she'll be.
And the steroids would help with the lungs, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And so we bought into that, and the fact is if they would have just followed that protocol, Grace would be alive today. And I know that because 3 days after Grace died, I went to a different hospital, substantially worse than Grace, and they did not follow the protocol that the hospital did that that killed Grace. And
oh, boy.
I'm alive because of that, because God put me in a different hospital, partially to be able to objectively tell this story.
So what was the protocol they gave her then? And do you think that they gave it to her because of this? And I started on purpose to get the understanding of when she was born to relate it to now. So you mentioned that it's gotten worse. These hospitals are really basically death camps nowadays. And so is it because they have this view even more so than when she was born, which is, do you want to keep her? Right?
Well, I believe so, because as I just framed the death rate of Down's kids before they're born,
67%.
If you look at that in a context of what happened during World War II, so most people are familiar with the Jews being exterminated.
Yes,
that wasn't the start. The start was called the T4 program, where they took out the disabled. And
yes,
the
so guys like me that are blind to be gone.
Exactly,
I understand.
That's exactly right.
I unfortunately understand, sir.
And so that's why we're out sharing, because we don't want this to happen to other people.
Yes.
But so when I look at that, now that I understand that Holocaust connection, and I see Hannah Arendt really helped me understand this better. She, after she studied the Adolf Eichmann trial, she couldn't wrap her head around what was going on, and she coined the phrase banality of evil. And she said banality means common. So evil was so common.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It's a book she wrote, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yes,
and
I understand.
It was so common that, you know, people didn't realize it's happening. And so when you look at, we've had decades of murdering Down syndrome children, and that's now an acceptable standard of care.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not to you and I.
But I understand.
That's acceptable to our society.
Yes, sir.
And so
it's really acceptable to the community that ministers death. Society doesn't really realize what's happening.
Bingo.
And I say that because I don't believe the average Joe would do that. I really don't. I know society might get there someday, but I don't believe we're there yet, Scott. I really don't. I believe that those who believe that they are playing God or that they think they know more might have that attitude. But you and I and the average Joe, we're not aware of this, right? I want to give people some hope that, you know what, just because you learned this, now it's time to stand up. But don't hold yourself responsible for what you didn't know, right?
Well, that's 100% true.
Okay.
I wonder, though, where we're really at, because I also looked at the Milgram Obedience Experiment, which Stanley Milgram conducted in 1963. And in that experiment, 67% of the participants, because they were told to do so, they ended somebody's life. Of course, it was an experiment, so nobody died. But, you know, just process that. That was 59 years ago. And
yes,
the moral fabric of our country was substantially stronger.
There's no doubt the moral fabric of our country is in trouble. You know, the two great supports George Washington talked about, the moral and the religious, the moral and the religious, two great fundamental supports. No doubt they're weakening greatly in America, and we need to reverse that trend. No doubt about it. I'm just saying that I believe most people have a good heart. I think they're deceived oftentimes. They submit to authority too willingly oftentimes, etc. And those are great problems. Don't misunderstand me. But I do believe most people do mean well and do have a good heart. I think most people are just deceived. Even a lot of
gentlemen.
Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live. It's an incredible interview. And we're going to continue after this pause. It tugs at your heartstrings. It lets you understand somehow there's a war on the American people, ladies and gentlemen. The medical industry seems to be at the core of it. We'll talk to Scott in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A shooter at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia, Tuesday night that left six people dead was a manager at that Walmart, and that he took his own life with the handgun he brought. The Chesapeake Police Department says four other people were hospitalized. Kevin Harper was on the clock at the time of the shooting.
Just left out of the break room. Manager come in there, started capping people up in there. Started shooting, bro. Like, I'm whole, though, y'all. Sadly, though, we lost a few of our associates. I don't know how many. I'm not going to speak on it.
Friends and family gathered Monday to remember Ethan Chapin, one of the four University of Idaho students stabbed to death in their home a week and a half ago. Police in the college town of Moscow have yet to identify a suspect in the slayings. The memorial was held in Mount Vernon, Washington, a city on Puget Sound, north of Seattle. A helicopter pilot and meteorologist who worked for WBTV in Charlotte, North Carolina, died Tuesday when their news helicopter crashed along a Charlotte-area interstate. Police praised the pilot for avoiding the roadway in his final moments. The NTSB will lead the investigation. More rescuers and volunteers were deployed Wednesday on Indonesia's main island of Java to search for the dead and missing from an earthquake that has killed just under 300 people. Victoria Idoni has more.
A powerful earthquake struck Indonesia's West Java province Monday, killing at least 250 people. The area struck by the quake is densely populated and vulnerable to landslides. Some buildings have been reduced to rubble. More than 13,000 people are displaced, and the death toll is expected to continue to rise. From the USA Radio News Washington, D.C. Bureau, this is Victoria Idoni.
We are USA Radio News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Scott Shara, my guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about remembering our grace. Amazing grace. OurAmazingGrace.net is the website. God is love. Where was God in all this? Scott trusts in God. Learn to turn to God. Him and his family are a godly family as a result of the loss of their dear daughter, Grace. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a Holocaust connection to this. What there really is this eugenics movement at the core of this, folks. He does this podcast called Urgent, The Need for Deprogramming. We'll get into that. We're talking about genocide then and now. How can we help is the real question on all of our minds. But I digress, except to tell you that, you know, I got a personal relationship to this story. They literally tried to put me when I was born, because I'm adopted, they tried to put me in a mental institution. Now, some say I belong there now. But I'm telling you right now, think of the life I've lived. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm an example or important or anything. I'm just saying, you know what? I've lived a great life. I'm 55 years old. I have eight children. I have grandchildren. I have a lovely wife. I have an incredible IT career. You know, if they would have had their way, I would have been in a mental institution amounting to nothing, never given an opportunity for anything. And then they killed Grace. These people have an evil, satanic at the core eugenics movement agenda. Yeah, Hitler was involved, but they jettisoned Hitler because he became too toxic. But they took the programs underground, and Scott documents the results. He continues now.
To reverse that trend, no doubt about it. I'm just saying that I believe most people have a good heart. I think they're deceived oftentimes. They submit to authority too willingly oftentimes, etc. And those are great problems. Don't misunderstand me. But I do believe most people do mean well and do have a good heart. I think most people are just deceived, even a lot of the people in the hospital.
Well, I think that that's true. I mean, they're convinced to take the jab under pressure,
absolutely.
Pressure of losing their job. And then they're, if you think about it, we're in month 34 of COVID, and they're still using the exact same protocols they started 34 months ago.
They've even refined them for greater administration of death, to be honest with you.
That's right on. There's still 1,000 people a day being murdered in the hospital under the protocols that were started 34 months ago.
Yeah. All right. Sorry for getting off track. Let's go back to this, though. So you believe that they treated her differently because they knew of her status as Downs, right?
And I have some proof of that. I mean, in the 22 doctors' reports that were written while Grace was in the hospital, they referenced that she had Down syndrome 36 different times. And yet,
wow.
the
which
care
is not related to the issue at hand at all.
Bingo. So I do believe it was because she had Down syndrome, and that's part of this banality of evil. We have been convinced as a society, I'm not convinced of it, but we're convinced in the spirit of collectivism versus individualism. So we have to do these type of things for the good of the population is what is being sold as propaganda.
Yeah, quick 30-second story on myself. I was born in 1967, and I was born to an unwed mother, and I was adopted. And believe it or not, they thought at first I was deaf, dumb, blind, and retarded, and they proposed putting me in a mental institution. And my adopted parents refused, and the lawyer refused to do the adoption over it. And so this is the mentality that we've had for a long time in America.
That's right on, Sam. Thanks for sharing that, because that is exactly the case. And right now...
I'm sitting here on the radio, buddy, and I'm handling all my own engineering and the talk show.
Yeah.
How's that for someone who belongs in a mental... Well, they still say I belong in a mental institution now, just for different reasons.
Well, that's the same thing they say about me. Let's go together.
All right. So tell me about the protocol they gave your daughter.
So they used three meds. So the first one they used was Presidex, which is a sedation med. The package, all meds have a package insert, which are the rules they're supposed to follow.
Yes.
That med has a package insert that says to not use for more than 24 hours or it causes acute respiratory failure. It's not it may cause it, it does cause it. They used it on Grace for 4 days before her last day. Her last day on this earth was October 13th of 2021. So they were sedating her for 4 days prior to that. There's absolutely no reason for the sedation.
Yeah, and how does sedation help someone recover? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. It's everything opposite that every medical literature shows.
Right on. They do it for two reasons. Well, obviously they do it for money, but you know, I'm going to just assume people know that. But they're trying to set up a ventilator. You have to be sedated,
yes,
to be put on a ventilator. And they also, what happens is they essentially, you have the patient under lock and key once you're on sedation. So to take Grace out, we didn't know this at the time, it would be called against medical advice. So you can't just walk the patient out.
You would be kidnapping your daughter.
Correct.
Is what they would call it, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So it ends up being a kidnapping, and then you're the guilty party. I mean, it's insanity. So that's the first cause of death listed on Grace's death certificate was acute respiratory failure. The hospital caused that. Well, then they took Presidex, combined it with lorazepam and morphine, all
Ooh.
In 29 minutes. And that 29-minute combination would have taken you and I out. And it wasn't enough to do that. The doctor put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace earlier in the day. So then when it came time to revive her after her, you know, she was tanking, they would not come in and revive her. So, I mean, my daughter Jessica was in the room with Grace at the time she died. The reason I wasn't there, my wife had COVID. I had been taken out by an armed guard 3 days earlier. And when Jessica called us panicking, we hollered to the nurses, save our daughter. And they hollered back from in the hallway, she's DNR. And we said, she's not DNR, save our daughter. They refused to come in the room. And
where does the authority from the DNR come from?
There is no authority. The authority is these people are above the law. There is absolutely no authority. That decision they made violated seven state statutes, but they don't care about the law. I mean, that is, they think they have immunity under the PREP Act for anything they do relative to COVID. Well, they don't have immunity for murdering somebody.
So she dies. You're not there because you're held back by what? Courts?
No. When they took me out by an armed guard, you know, it was under, you know, so the nurse came in, the armed guard, and then after defending myself for an hour with her, she said they were going to call the Appleton Police Department. So I called an attorney who's a friend, and I asked, what do I do? And he suggested leaving peacefully. The armed guard walked me out to the truck, and he watched this exchange. He knew that I was in the right and said, Scott, you need to take this to a higher level. Ultimately, we had to hire an attorney to negotiate with the hospital attorney to get my daughter, Jessica, in as a replacement advocate.
But why can't you be there, though? I'm just not understanding.
Well, in general, they're using COVID as an excuse. They don't want any family members in, but that's a complete lie. Grace had, right, a disability, so she had a right to a family member in the room.
Yes, of course.
It's just simply they're doing all this because they can get away with it. Until this gets stopped somehow, you know, we have a legal case that's proceeding, so you know we presume that's going to be successful, and that will stop the behavior. It'll be a national case.
And that case has been going on since 21?
No, it's just, no. We're just in the beginning. You know, it's I'm not supposed to talk about it on
all right.
Air.
So I get it. But you got a case going.
Yes.
Because that's what my next question was going to be, though. Hey, you know what? This cannot be allowed to stand, Scott. And you agree, and that's obviously what the case is about. I'll leave that alone because I don't want to jeopardize anything for you, your dear wife, your lovely daughter. But let's talk about Remembering Grace and about your incredible website for a little bit, because I think it really helps people understand when the story, you've got a video of the story up, ouramazinggrace.net. And it's sad that we lost her. We know she's in a better place than we are, though, as our salvation, Scott. But we also know, though, that this story was meant to happen. I don't want to be negative on that. I'm just saying that you guys are in this position not by coincidence, right?
That's right on. I mean, you know, during the battle, we don't know what God had in mind, but after somebody has passed, we can say specifically, God, you know, God is sovereign, and we know that it was his knowledge before Grace was even born, the day she was going to die in the circumstances.
Of course.
And so now we're
privy to
that.
And she fulfilled her mission here as well.
She did. Now we're privy to that fact, and so then he holds us accountable to what do we do with our talents that we were given, and that's, I'm taking that more serious than I've ever taken that in my life. In fact, I would say that before Grace died to wake me up. I didn't know any of the stuff that's going on relative to the agenda 2030. I knew none of this. She died to wake me up, and so why wasn't I awake before? I was too focused on my own selfish ambitions.
And yeah, like most of us are.
Now.
That's kind of why I started out with it, like all of us are, right? And you can't beat yourself up for what you weren't prepared for, right? When the Lord wakes you up, the question is, do you listen? And if you do, don't beat yourself up from before. Stand in the gap and do what you can now. It's going forward that matters, right?
That's right, Sam. Sometimes it's hard to look at it that way. You know, Grace was my best buddy, and I never miss somebody like this, but you're right on.
People are going to ask you, where was God?
He never left. You know, he was there the whole time, and he's opened up at least 60 doors for us that are, you know, nothing but miracles. I recorded them because as they were opening, it's like, you can't make this stuff up. So one of the biggest miracles is when he put me in the hospital after Grace died. Of course, you know I lived, but I mean, why did I live? Well, during that time, he took the time to break me so that I could be able to tell this story for him, you know, to be broken like that.
And for Grace.
Absolutely. You know, and I had people ask often, how can you possibly forgive the doctor and nurse? And the answer to that question is, I can't. God did it for me. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I know why, because he expects us to forgive, but I can't do that on my own. There's no gospel if you can forgive.
That's right. That's right.
Forgive on your own.
It's the atonement of Christ.
And he did it. So, that's a huge miracle. Just a tangible one that people can really relate to. So if you look on the website, you see there's a spot called the Holocaust Connection. And so as I realized Grace was murdered, which took me about 500 hours of research, I started digging into genocide and the Holocaust. And
because you didn't want to believe it, did you?
No, I believed it. I knew she was murdered, but I thought, what is the reason? I don't get this. And that's why I started studying genocide and the Holocaust. And so in June, I spent about 100 hours studying. And in the process, I watched a podcast by Alex Newman with a young lady by the name of Vera Sherev.
Yes.
And I thought, boy, I thought I would be sharing the Holocaust. I thought, well, who's going to listen to me when they can listen to a Holocaust survivor? And so I did what nobody ever does, right? You Google the person.
Yes, of course.
And so then I called, and a lady answers the phone, and I said, I'd like to talk to Vera. And she starts just kind of beating me up with questions, asking me all kinds of questions.
Yeah, because so you know what? Poor Vera and others just get beat up by those who claim that she's either a racist or a denier or this or that. I mean, you know well now why, right?
Oh, she's a complete gift. Yes. So anyway, she after badgering me for about 5-10 minutes, she said, I'm Vera. So then we talked for about 20 minutes, and that was on a Thursday. On Saturday, so interestingly, I was at the Red Pill in July. So that Saturday I was at Red Pill. And so I was thinking, how are Vera and I going to do these interviews together? Because I thought, this is what we need to do. We'll do joint interviews. I'll introduce her with Grace's story, and then she can make the connection to the current Holocaust. And so I called her on Saturday from Red Pill, and I said, Vera, do you have availability this next week when my wife and I can fly to New York City and talk to you, and we'll sit down for dinner and get to know each other? And she says, so cute. She said, Scott, you can't be doing that. She said, you don't know if the pilots have been jabbed.
And so great point. And they might die in the middle of flight.
So then we set up a Zoom call to meet. So we had a couple.
Boy, is she right, though. Isn't that cute? That's funny, but she's right.
So then we got to know each other the next week. We became fast friends, and we've done about 20 interviews together now.
Wow.
In fact, she's going to, tonight when I speak at Red Pill, she'll be doing the introduction via video.
Oh, that's incredible.
For about 10 minutes.
Well, you know what? God bless her. God bless you. And God bless my dear brother, Alex Newman. You know what? He is one of the best interviewers, one of the best dig into the details guys. He's just been a dear friend for years, and I just have tremendous respect for him.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, let me ask you some questions. Because first you got to say, you know what? Deprogramming is important. We have got to deprogram society from this.
I agree. This is, I learned a lot of things with Grace's death. So the first thing that I learned is our government is completely corrupt. And then the second thing I learned was how dumb our population is. But then the third thing, which is the most significant, is how programmed I am and was. And I started my own podcast now just this last week. Well, it might have been the week before. Yeah, it was the week before. Started my own podcast. I had Mickey Willis on as the first guest, and it's called Deep.
Yeah, another dear friend of mine. Good for him.
Deprogramming with Grace's Dad. So we're walking through different opportunities for people to see how they've been programmed. And so, of course, Mickey was the perfect first guest. I got to meet him at his home in April, and so it was a neat opportunity to have him on.
And the easiest way to start deprogramming, in my personal opinion, is to let people hear the stories of success that people have. And you started out with these about Grace, taking her hunting, for example, teaching her to drive, for example. I've actually driven cars. I've jumped out of planes. I've got 8 children and a wife that I've been married to for 30-plus years. Okay, these success stories are when you make those who they might not have respect or understanding for real. And once you do and you touch their heart, then you're going to see a separation. Those who can become deprogrammed and those who may reject it, huh?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, there's a lot of people who Certainly think that I've fallen off on the deep end with what's going on, but I haven't. I am sharper than I've ever been.
The Need for Deprogramming, folks, is a podcast that you can learn more about. Where do you go? OurAmazingGrace.net?
Yes, you'll see a deprogramming tab. And, you know, I'm 59 years old, so I don't know all the social media. I've never been on any social media.
I'm just a kid. I'm only 55. So I
don't know how we're going to get this spread. I'm going to figure this out by talking to younger people who are infinitely smarter than me so that we can get the word out. But the first one got 8,500 hits on Rumble. So
yeah,
I think that's pretty good.
I also want to talk about genocide then and now, because it's one thing to think it's then and not really think it relates to now. It's happening now. It's just taken a different nature, a different twist that we've seemed to accept, Scott.
Just to put it in the framework of the disabled. So the disabled, there's statistics coming out. When I did the research back in June, disabled women were 13 times more likely to die in a hospital of COVID than non-disabled women. So that is how I got started into the genocide. But as I really got to know Vera, and you know, she is so smart. I talk with her a couple of times a week, and you know, she's one of these people you got to just stop the conversation because she's giving me too much. So you know, your head hurts because she's so smart. She knows all of this, and she calls the real virus is eugenics, and that's what's going on. Is
She's exactly right. It's the eugenics movement. It came out of World War II. We jettisoned Hitler, even though he was our partner. We then pretended that we jettisoned his agenda, which was racist and everything else. And what they did was they took it underground and they continued the same agenda, the eugenics movement. And now they've used nanotechnology and everything else to reprogram everyone. Scott?
It's sick. You just did a fantastic job summarizing it in one sentence. If everybody could understand what you just said, really understand it, this would all be over. But it's been happening through the programming that's been going on at least since 1910. You know, the Rockefeller family is, oh my gosh, what it's a completely satanic family and organization. Some of the research I found out during this process over the last year is that they have been funding the Christian seminaries. You know, so you just think through that. I have...
Oh, yeah, it's just like welcoming Satan right into the seminary. It's insanity.
But it's the perfect way if you're going to... You know, Satan has been twisting the scriptures since day one in the garden. And he has that ability. I mean, he knows scripture better than any man who's yes. ever walked the face of the earth other than Jesus. So he has a way of twisting it. And, you know, I'm just going to give you a pointed example of how we are wired to look at things through a prism of
that's right.
good and evil, or positive and negative. So in my state, the state senator, Ron Johnson, just won re-election. So,
good news.
Well, is it good news? So I want to frame this different than what people are thinking. So
okay.
Most people would say, yeah, that's great. You know, he's fighting.
I don't think he's perfect. I just think compared to the alternative.
Well, and that's the frame that we're used to looking
that's
at.
That's right.
And so he won by only 26,000 votes. So now if we look in this good versus evil paradigm that we're used to looking at, you think, wow, he should have won by a landslide, right? So why did he only win by 26,000 votes? Well, this is the debate that Satan wants us in. And
yeah, God's the lesser of two evils is still
right,
evil.
The lesser of two evils is still evil. So look at this as Mandela Barnes, who he ran against, he is for women's right to choose. Ron Johnson is not, but Ron Johnson is still carving out certain abortions are okay. So then they both believe in murder. It's just
yes.
a matter of degree.
It's just conditional murder.
So the point I'm making is God's way is always outside of the Hegelian dialectic.
That's facts, right?
That he wants us to think in terms of Satan I'm talking about. And this is how we spin out as a population. This is maybe the biggest deprogramming thing that I have stumbled across in the research with Grace.
And this is why we choose none of the above, right?
Exactly. That is exactly right. So the Hegelian dialectic is in play, and I have some of that research on Grace's website, but if you're not familiar with that, please dig into it, because it is a big deal.
Yeah, my listeners know, because I talk about it all the time.
Oh, good.
That's great news. Scott, you know what? We don't have time to cover it all. That's why people need to go to your website, ouramazinggrace.net, and learn more and keep up with what you're doing, because it's tremendous work. It's vital work. How can we help, though? A lot of people are just kind of going, you know what? I mean, I appreciate the story, but man, I don't know what I can do. There are things we can do, right?
Absolutely. And the single most important thing that people can do to help is, you know, everybody wants to give money. That's not what I'm asking for. Of course, we have a give, send, go, but if you want to give $100 to the Give, Send, Go, or take this podcast and share it to every one of your contacts in your contact list, I'll take share the podcast. The reason is because that's how we can stop this. Vera has nailed it. She said, we have the ability to stop this, but people have to stand up. Well, how do they stand
up?
Education produces disobedience. I'm not talking about disobedience to God. I'm talking about disobedience to what we should be disobedient to, and that's what I'm after. So share this. If every single person, if we have 1,000 people listen to this and they share it with 100 people in their contacts, just process that.
Amen.
That's 100,000.
Yeah, and they wanted to put me in a mental institution. I've been giving them heck for 55 years for it, Scott.
This was really a gift to meet you, Sam.
I got 4 boys and 4 girls and a lovely wife, and we've been telling the tale of liberty. We've been on the radio for more than 25 years now.
Wow.
So we've been giving them heck. They rule the day. They let us. But the Lord was on our side, and he saved me for this purpose, though. I do my IT work daily to keep my family fed and everything else. I do radio because I want to tell the tale of liberty. It's about truth-telling, Scott.
It's right on, Sam. I'm honored to have met you.
All right. Give us your website again, my friend.
It's ouramazinggrace.net.
Ouramazinggrace.net. The story of their lovely daughter. The hospital literally committed murder and killed her. It didn't need to happen, but the Lord will use it to our advantage if we get involved in the fight. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Story about his daughter Grace. Amazing. Ouramazinggrace.net is where you can learn more. And I'm just telling you what a class act Scott is. Learning to forgive, learning to be humble and trust God, using this as an opportunity to tell the story to save the lives, the sacred lives of others who may not come out as what the eugenics people would say perfect. They are delivered to us in the world as God intends them to be. Primarily, I believe it's so that we can learn from them and humble ourselves. Great sons and daughters of God's spirits brought to the earth to teach us something. Will we learn to be humble? Will we learn to feel love like they do? Will we learn to serve and be grateful? Will we apply what we learn in our lives? Will we learn to treat others as we're drawn to treat them, and vice versa? Will we learn to treat them as they treat us? You know, many of these people that Scott's speaking of that have Down syndrome, etc., or other disabilities, you know what? They bring something to the earth. They bring a perspective that you can gain no other way. And they bring experiences and interactions that are just so precious. You cannot deny that God lives. Even in their disabilities, you cannot deny that God lives. They're so cheerful, so excited to be alive, so willing to love and forgive and trust. And these attributes that you and I struggle to gain, they just have in abundance. How come? Because God sent them among us for us to learn, for us to grow, for us to imitate some of these things, and a child shall lead them. And those with disabilities, oftentimes it reminds me of in the book of John in the Bible, where they said, hey, did this guy or his parents sin that he was born blind? And the Savior Jesus Christ replied and said, neither. He was born blind that the works of God may be made manifest through him. Is this the case for many of these chosen sons and daughters of God Almighty?
I believe that's the case. That is the answer. Hour one in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two coming up. I got a couple of more interviews from Red Pill Expo. It was an incredible time, and I'm sharing it to the best of my ability with you. LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.